With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Talks with players and coaches from the BYU men's hoops team and breaks down what you need to know as Mark Pope and the Cougars chase greatness. It's time to get relentless with BYU basketball right now on Cougar Sports.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Prittle, broadcasting live from LHM Chevy in Provo, 2125 North University Parkway, just two blocks west of Lavelle Edwards Stadium. It's time to get relentless and talk some BYU basketball. Darnell Dixon of the Daily Herald by my side. Would love to see you, though, here with me and Double D at LHM Chevy. We do have some Royal Army brand gear to sell you, to give to you if you test drive a new vehicle, newer used vehicle. And love to offer you some in-house financing as well. But some Royal Army brand swag is available if you'd like to buy it. We have our many brick-and-mortar locations that are going to be starting up, obviously, with this first location and many others around Utah County, so you can grab some BYU swag to buy fans for fans. All right, let's talk some BYU hoops with BYU basketball insider Vanquish the Foe, VanquishTheFoe.com. Let's welcome in Robbie McCombs. Robbie, how you living, man? Thanks for joining us.
Ben, doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk some hoop with you. The Bahamas, I thought it was a good trip. 1-2 in the Bahamas. You did have an injury sustained, so maybe a net negative, all things considered. But they did find their stroke in the heat, I guess, of the Bahamas. What are your thoughts on the trip to the Bahamas, the pros and cons of heading out there, and whether it was a net negative or net positive?
Yeah, I agree mostly with what you said. I think ideally you would have really liked to get two wins out there, and two wins would have been tough to have, just because every team was really good there, potential NCAA tournament quality teams. It's early in the season, so we're in December now, but really BYU kind of wanted to kind of set themselves up for at least a chance in NCAA tournament. I would have liked to see them get two wins there. I mean, BYU doesn't have any bad losses on the year. They salvaged it, that Dayton. You kind of hope that's something BYU could build on moving forward, not just because they won, but obviously in the manner which they went down 23 points. They looked dead in the water, but really fought back in the first half, that second back to come back and erase the deficit again. A team of Dayton that's struggled to start the year, but they were preseason top 25. They were picked to win the Atlantic 10 conference, which is a good conference. So we'll see how that win shapes up. It was a good way to go out. And I think for me, a positive coming out of that, BYU, they finally just started their shooting stroke, because that was kind of one of the things we all expected this year. It's like, hey, this BYU team, who knows how good they're going to be, but we expect them to at least shoot the ball better this year. And, for the first couple of weeks, that definitely wasn't the case. But it's someone like Jackson Robinson who really struggled to start the year. I think he was like 4 of 23 to start the year, but really turned around the Bahamas, and obviously last game versus Westminster's last four games, shooting the ball over 50% from three. That was his calling card coming in. Richie Saunders shot the ball well. Dallin Hall's made a couple of threes. Noah Waterman can shoot well. Gideon George made tons of big shots. So for me, that was finally a positive. Team shot the ball well. Last few games, their turnovers have gone down each game. So I think there's definitely something to build on. That's really what we want to see from this team. Might not be an NCAA tournament team, but a lot of those young guys, which are going to be the core of when you go into the Big 12, can they start gelling together? Because ideally, you want them to gel together, to grow old together. And I think maybe we're starting to see the fruits of that a little bit, which for me was encouraging. You had the injury to Spencer Johnson, which is unfortunate. You think probably going to be out a few more weeks. But I'd say overall, I don't know if net neutral is kind of a cop-out answer, but I mean, maybe for the expectation of the team, maybe slightly net positive, just because you ended on the good note and you did start to see some positive trends.
Robbie, I'm always interested in a coach's rotation. And coaches notoriously late in the season are pretty stingy with going beyond seven or eight guys. Mark Pope's kind of been that guy. I've been surprised early in the season that he's been so willing to play 10 guys in a game. It doesn't matter what game it is, whether it's a game against the San Diego State or whoever. He's playing a lot of guys, and certainly Spencer's injury causes maybe some change in that. But what do you think of his rotation, and what does it say about what he's trying to do this year?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things. I mean, BYU has a lot of solid players, but I mean, honestly, how many great players do they have? I don't know if they really have any great players this year. I think Boos could be a really great all-WCC type player. But I mean, BYU has a lot of really good players, but no one that's just like, wow, like, you have to play these like six guys, eight guys every night. Like a lot of guys, honestly, it's pretty close together. A lot of C-plus to B-type guys on this team, which you could win games, and BYU's winning games. But also the style of BYU's different defensively. BYU's being a lot more aggressive defensively. We've seen a lot more press this year, especially that Dayton game, which was the third game in 3 days, and BYU is still pressing a lot of that game, and it paid dividends in the second half. When BYU is forcing turnovers, that kind of spurred the turnaround in that game. So I think, one, it's just a lot of the guys, they're all close like together, I think, skill-wise. Two, I think the style at BYU is trying to be a lot more aggressive defensively, which just expends more energy, so naturally you typically play more guys. But, you know, it will be interesting going forward. You know, Spencer, you know, if he comes back in a month, that's another guy. Trevin Nell, last start, he's still not practicing now. So, and he had the shoulder surgery in August. So, you know, who knows? If he comes back this year, you know, maybe in the next month or so, you know, that's another guy you add in and you expect him to play. You know, he's a veteran that's been around for, this will be his fourth season in the program. You know, it'll be interesting. Tanner Toulson, he showed some really good things last game. He had the ankle injury come off his mission. Seems like he's finally starting to get healthy, get acclimated to things. So I think it'll be one thing. I mean, maybe as long as BYU, like, you know, doesn't suffer any more injuries, I think Pope will probably go 10 deep most of the year and continue to play aggressive defensively. He's like, hey, expend yourself when you're out there because you got guys behind you. You know, typically you want to narrow that down to maybe to eight guys later in the season. But, I mean, if BYU doesn't get injuries, it's kind of hard. Like, who do you, you know, cut out of the rotation from there? And I don't think there's anyone that stands out saying you have to cut that guy out.
Yeah, Robbie, another element, I think, in that rotation is the fact that Dallin Holland and Richie Saunders, as return missionary freshmen, have been pretty ready to step in and play extra minutes. Give me your impression of what you think those guys, Richie and Dallin, have done so far.
No, absolutely. And I think they've, like you said, they've been bright spots for sure to start the year. And it's really been a while since BYU's had guys that come and step off their missions. I think for a stretch, we were pretty spoiled. You know, you had... And it's a little different, too, because guys like Eric Mika, Tyler Haas, Kyle Collins were, you know, guys recently in the war in the last 10 years. And you can go back to someone like Mark Bigelow or someone like that. But guys that played a year off before their mission, went on the mission, they came back. So I think, you know, that helped them because they had the year of D1 experience under their belt. And then it helped them acclimate. You know, recently we haven't had as many like that. TJ Haas, Nick Emery, those are two guys. They were all WCC right off their missions. But it's been at least 5+ years since BYU's had, you know, guys that stepped off the missions. Trey Stewart, you know, he was here last year, but he didn't really do much on the mission. But so that's been really encouraging. I mean, Richie Saunders and Dallin Hall are super talented in high school. So expect them to, you know, to make an impact at some point. But it's been really encouraging right away. And I think for me, Dallin Hall, the most encouraging thing is those numbers don't necessarily pop off. I think he's averaging about 5 points a game, averaging a few assists. But it's just, the control he has when he's on the floor, he just brings a sense of calm and stability, which is just really encouraging as a freshman. And especially that Dayton game, I think him and Rudy in the backcourt will probably see a lot more of that with Spencer Johnson. I think Rudy probably fits a little more kind of that combo guard with Dallin Hall doing a lot of the point guard duties. And that worked really well. Dallin Hall had 5 assists that game. He was finding open shooters, Gideon George, Jackson Robinson, Richie Saunders in that second half, which really spurred that comeback. And he had that game winner versus Missouri State. So, Dallin Hall, just the poise which he plays with. And for me, what's really encouraging, one of the questions I had this year is Dallin Hall, is he your point guard of the future going into the Big 12? I think a lot of ways this year is an audition year for him. The Big 12 is going to be a meat grinder. Is he your point guard of the future going to the Big 12? Or is Mark going to have to say, hey, I'm going to have to go to the transfer portal and get a point guard? But to me, I think Don Hall's already answered the question. Yes, he's your point guard of the future. Maybe, you know, he's the bottom half of talented point guards in the Big 12 going to year one, but BYU is a team that's going to have to get old together if they want to compete in the Big 12. And I think Don Hall, he showed he's your point guard of the future. He's going to continue to get more minutes this year. So to me, that's he's already answered that question, which is one of the question marks I'm going into the year. I think he'll be your point guard going to the Big 12. And then Richie Saunders, you mentioned him. You know, he was a knockdown shooter in high school, and he's already been showing that. He's already shooting 40% from three. Just, I think that's only going to continue. But just, I think the number one thing he brings is just tenacity, just motor on the defensive end. It's contagious. Whether it's block shots, like forcing loose balls, he's just go, go, go. And he's really, I think, the glue guy on this team, which you really, every good team needs a glue guy. And he's that guy, does the dirty work, you know, all these cliche type stuff, but it is a real thing, and BYU hasn't really had that since like Zach Selius, Dalton Nixon. I feel like a few years ago, I think he fills a lot out of that role. And as the years go on, he's going to be that guy. BYU's going to run more plays through him, and he's going to eventually be a double-digit scorer. But to me, what those guys are showing off the mission, that's maybe been the probably one of the top highlights and one of the positive takeaways, I'd say, for the year.
Yeah, I love that breakdown. Robbie McCombs here on ESPN 960, talking some BYU basketball, representing Vanquish the Foe, vanquishthefoe.com. How long do we think Spencer Johnson is going to be out, and how impactful will this injury be, do you think?
Yeah, so he suffered his injury. The Butler game was Thanksgiving, so it was 8 days ago. You know, I was just talking to a few people close to the situation. He had a MRI when he came back from the Bahamas on Monday. No, things are still low in flex, but I was told it's likely he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, but it won't require any surgery. So I don't know exactly what it is. That leads me to believe maybe it's like some strain or sprain or something. I don't know exactly what ligament he hurt or whatever it may be. But I heard he's probably going to be 4 to 6 weeks. You know, Mark Pope was being a little coy during postgame saying Spencer, you know, he's going to try to play tomorrow. I would be pretty shocked if that happened. But to me, I think probably 4 to 6 weeks. And if he's out 4 to 6 weeks, WCC play starts December 29th. And that's exactly 5 weeks to the day that Spencer hurt his knee. So I think you're probably going, hopefully, begin at WCC play. Spencer's ready to go. You know, fortunately, Dewey does have some depth in the backcourt. But Spencer, he's a really important piece. He's third-leading scorer. He's one of the leaders on this team, one of your best defenders. And he's been really good to start the year. So obviously you want him back, but you don't want to rush him back either because you don't want him to aggravate something or tear something, and then it's really long-term going into next season. So I would anticipate probably sometime at the beginning of WCC play, around there, end of this month, again, next month he comes back. You know, which is unfortunate. You got some big games coming up. Next Saturday, BYU plays Creighton in Las Vegas. Creighton's a top 10 team. And then Utah, you play them the 17th in 2 weeks from tomorrow. And, you know, they saw what they did yesterday. They beat number 4 Arizona. And so that looks like, you know, it's going to be a very, it's not going to be an easy game by any means. You know, fortunately, you get Utah and Provo. It's been 5 years since BYU had Utah and Provo with fans. You got them 2 years ago, but there's no fans in there. So, you know, he'll probably miss both of those games, you know, which is unfortunate. You know, the hope is, you know, get him healthy, get him ready for WCC play in about a month or so here.
One of the, I know it was Westminster, and you can only take so much away from it, but I've been very high on Tanner Toulson. I kind of feel like Tanner Toulson is this year's maybe Hunter Erickson. We're seeing Hunter Erickson right now ball out and score a lot of buckets. I know Hunter was at BYU a little bit longer than what Tanner has been able to showcase thus far. But I feel like Tanner's a really good player. And I know that Mark Pope postgame said, I want to get this guy more PT a few weeks ago. We finally got to see him. What were your thoughts on the RM Tanner Toulson and the impact that he can make in the absence of maybe guys like Spencer Johnson?
Yeah, he did. He did well. He made 3 threes, and it was his first action of the season. You know, granted, you said it was against Westminster, but you know, he hit open shots. He took 7 threes. He wasn't shy, and he hit 3 of them. So I think he's probably one of the guys. It's like, how deep do you want to go in your rotation? I think realistically, you don't want to go 11. Regular to rotation, you know, unless there's foul trouble. So he was kind of the odd man out. And he started a little behind the eight ball. The three RMs that came between him, Dallin Hall, Richie Saunders, he was the last one to get home. And he had a little bit of an ankle issue. Like when he got home, he was wearing a boot on his ankle. Just, and it wasn't anything like super serious. It's just, you know, that, and even Summer Pope, I think, referenced it at some point. He was coming a lot slower than the other two returning missionaries just because they didn't want to re-aggravate the ankle. So he did start a little bit behind the eight ball that way. But now he's healthy. He could shoot the ball. He was a really good scorer. He played in the state of Washington next to Portland and Vancouver. That's what he did. He was really late bloomer. Like it took him a while to grow above 6 feet. And then by his junior or senior year, he really, really had a growth spurt. And, you know, obviously the bloodlines, his dad, Andy Toulson, you know, BYU great former NBA player, and his cousin's Jake Toulson. So he's got the bloodlines. But I expect him, with Spencer's gone, I think BYU will continue to keep the rotation long. And I think Tanner Toulson's going to find his way to get some minutes, which I think is great. This is a year, I mean, you want to do well and you want to make the NCAA tournament, but I think the 1B to that, you want to get these young guys developed, you want to grow cohesion. So these guys that have 2 to 3, 4 years of eligibility left could get old together, and Tanner Toulson's probably going to be one of those guys. So, you know, I've heard good things about him. He could shoot the ball, so I think he's, as long as Spencer's out, I think he's going to continue to get some meaningful minutes these next few weeks.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Robbie McCombs here on ESPN 960 discussing BYU hoops. South Dakota, what do you think about South Dakota? What challenges do they pose? What do you know as far as the scouting report is concerned?
Now, I've looked a little bit into them. Honestly, I'm not a South Dakota expert by any means. Not that you expect me to be here.
No, well, the follow-up, so, and it's okay because on the flip side, we're actually going to have assistant coach, Coach Miller of Creighton, hop on. He's actually from South Dakota and keeps track of what's going on with South Dakota as well. And we're going to preview the Creighton game. So if you want to listen to that, should be pretty good, Coach Miller.
Yeah, Robbie,
no,
I had a question.
Interesting. Yeah.
Robbie, I had a question about Foose Traore.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been good at some, but he's kind of started slowly. Do you think that's a product of kind of the way that they're trying to play up tempo wise? I know he had a little bit, he's banged up a little bit in the preseason, and I don't think he was at every single practice leading up to the season. Maybe that's a reason. What are your thoughts on Foose Traore and kind of his slow start?
Yeah, I think the second point you mentioned, he was out for several weeks. I don't remember if it was a hamstring injury or a foot injury. But leading up to the season, he kind of tweaked something. So they're just being very cautious with him because obviously you don't want to lose him long term. So they brought him along a little slowly. But, I mean, even with that, it's funny, like slow for Foose. I mean, he's still averaging about a double-double a game with BYU and rebounds, averaging 11 or 12 points a game right now. And we saw, you know, they were really going to him in the Butler game and some of the games. So I think the main reason he had a little bit, he was a little bit banged up going into the season. They held him out, so I think his conditioning wasn't quite there. They didn't want to re-aggravate it. And then, you know, when we saw his freshman year, he tweaked his groin a couple times. I think BYU is being really cognizant of that. So I think as the weeks go on, he'll continue to get more minutes. But, I mean, how much do you want to, like, he's had a couple games where he hasn't done a lot, but he's had some games like, wow, like Atiki, he's grown leaps and bounds versus last year. So I think part of it too is like, you want to, Atiki's a guy you want to play 15, 18, 20 minutes a night, and how do you balance that with Foose? Because ideally going into the Big 12, Foose needs to be a four man. I mean, he's got a 7 foot wingspan, he could jump. I mean, he's only 6'6". You need to have a 7'1 wingspan. If you're starting at 6, I mean, those arms just don't go as high, as fast. I mean, so, and right now they can't really play together. Foose and Atiki, you just have no floor spacing. So this year they both kind of have to play the five. Ideally next year, Foose, he gets a little bit more lateral quickness. He's probably going to have to lose some weight so he could guard fours at the Big 12 level, because a lot of those guys, you know, they're going to be quick guys that could shoot the perimeter. Right now both those guys are fives, and you don't want to play Atiki on the bench too long. So I think part of it is, one, he was a little banged up. Two, part of it, I think BYU's playing a little bit faster this year, so he's going to get just naturally winded a little more. And then three, you want to get Atiki on the floor. So I think with all of those, probably kind of contribute to maybe not the, like, you know, Atiki's average, Bruce's averaging 16, the game right now. And I think that's why it contributes to the little slower start, but albeit still, you know, good start.
So one of my questions, let me follow up with this, you know, piggyback off of what Darnell was talking about, but a couple other things as well. This Mark Pope this year is a little bit different. I think last year, let me take a step back. Mark Pope, I think, likes to control things. He likes order. He doesn't like chaos. He's not a man of chaos. He does not like chaos. And I think he's really fighting hard right now. And I think this is, I don't know if it's influence from Cody or what. Last year I saw Mark really try to call a ton of sets for Alex Barcelo. And with due reason, right? Alex was the guy. You need to get him touches.
Absolutely.
No one else was hitting shots. And we didn't have as many shooters. This year they're like, we got to find shooters, and we're just going to let them go. And Mark is just kind of hands off the wheel. Turn the ball over, but we'll hopefully figure this thing out.
And honestly, and there's have. Been some minutes where you're like, what are they doing?
It is chaos.
Right? It's chaos.
Bro. It
right,
is
right.
so ugly sometimes. But like he has used his impulse control and said, you know what? I'm not going to meddle. I'm going to let these guys figure it out. And I think it's been really tough for him. But we've seen continual progression from the shooters. We're finally finding some makers, as Darnell says, and we're not turning the ball over as much. And granted, maybe that has something to do with strength of schedule at times, but we've also gone up against some formidable foes. Your thoughts on Mark Pope's cognizant effort to let his guys just play some fun basketball, run and gun, 3-and-D?
Yeah, and I think a lot of college coaches especially are that way. And anything below the NBA level, like, they just really like to have control. I think Dave Rose is one of the few college coaches, like, he really relinquished a lot of control with the way his guys played, and, you know, and the BYU had a really great offense for so many years because of that. But I think you're right. I think BYU doesn't have the ball handlers as they did last year. You don't have Alex Barcelo and Tijon Lucas, two this year, sixth-year point guards that played point guard at the D1 level for 4 or 5 years. You don't have that. You have Rudy Williams, who's probably honestly more of a combo guard. You have Dallin Hall, who's a point guard, but he's a true freshman, and he didn't play basketball much the last 2 years. So I think out of necessity, Pope had to change his offense just because that offense is really complex, but you could see it works beautifully. We saw his first year. I mean, that team, and then you have veteran players and shooters, it's as good as an offensive system as there is, and that's why BYU led the nation in 3-point percentage his first year, one of the best teams at not turning the ball over. And that combo made him so lethal. So this past couple of years, you had the ball handlers, you know, you had Averett, Tijon Lucas, Alex Barcelo, but you didn't have them surrounded with shooters. You didn't have the combo of both. And this year, you have the shooters, but you probably don't have the ball handlers. So I think Pope saw that. It's like, hey, let's get in transition. We don't have as many ball handlers, and that will facilitate more open licks. But, you know, that's going to mean more turnovers. And for me, I'm going to be patient with this team because, hey, Mark Pope's alluded to it. He hasn't said, like, we're going to be really bad in November, but you could kind of read between the lines. Like, he's like, you could kind of know the first month would probably be rough, and it has been rough. But still, I mean, they almost beat San Diego State. They almost came back versus USC. They almost beat Butler. Like, Butler just knocked off an undefeated Kansas State team. They beat Dayton. So, you know, the teams been struggling, like, they've been in it against good teams. Mm-hmm. They should have beat San Diego State, honestly, which would have been super impressive. So, you know, you hope by January, I mean, and honestly, January might be too late because you didn't pick up enough wins in the non-conference to give yourself a shot at the at-large bid. But since this team is young, like, you wanted to get experience. So go end of the year to play a lot of confidence and then go into the offseason that, okay, you know, we're good to go. So, and hopefully, you know, you start to see some progression in December. Then, you know, the last few games, we see fewer turnovers. And then there's going to be games, you know, BYU's going to have turnovers. But you hope you're not turning it over 20-plus percent of your possessions. Like, come on, like, BYU's, you know, turnover percentage right now is about 25%. Like, you want to really get that down to the teens. Because that's about the college average. It's getting the high teens, low teens, you're doing pretty good. I just want to see progression. Beginning of the season, turn the ball over a lot, but, you know, you continue to see the light. It's like, hey, you're getting open shots. You're not turning the ball over. I think that's what Pope ideally wants to see. I think he would love to kind of really insert himself in there, but if you insert yourself in there now, then what you kind of all did was for naught, and you're kind of just putting a band-aid on the issue. It's like, how does that really help you? So you got to have these lumps and growing pains. But your hope is that, you know, Mark Pope steps back a little bit, then it'll be worth it kind of towards the end. And this offense is really free flowing. You have four shooters on the floor at the same time, and your offense could be really humming, which has a potential to be. They have the shooters. They have the length. They got good Fusa Tiger guys that could score down the block. Where this, you could see the pieces of offense could be really good. It's just going to require some patience, but you hope it doesn't happen like February, March, or not even the whole season, but you'd rather start seeing it here in the next few weeks, start to say, hey, now we can kind of see the vision of what Pope wants, and this team's starting to click.
BYU's 5-3. Ken Pom has them as the 67th best team, 66th, and I think offense, 65th in defense. Their strength of schedule, 69th. So a lot of sixes in there. Even Steven, baby. Hey, I'm okay with being, you know, at that spot through eight games. I am. I'm good with it. I didn't have expectations for this roster. I just thought my expectations were actually they're a better three-point shooting team, and hopefully they can figure out the free throws. Shot tracker, we need to incentivize them to take more free throw shots rather than three-point shots right now.
Or
on
make
the shot.
More free throw shots.
Well, yeah, the shot track. Those are the two things. Yeah. Like I think that a BYU basketball team should be able to do, hit threes and hit free throws, and then play like really high effort defense. Isn't that those three characteristics? Is that too much to ask from a BYU basketball team year in and year out?
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice way of seeing BYU historically doesn't get athletic guys.
So, and because of that, that's the things they could compensate. So I would hope, I mean, this team's a little different. They got athleticism, you hope they force more turnovers, but I mean, I'm sure every team feels that way. It's like, you got to hit your free throws. I mean, that's where you're right there. I mean, this team's built to hit three-pointers. So if you can't do what you were built to do, then that's when BYU could really nosedive. Like if this team doesn't hit threes, they're not a team that's going to, you know, dribble drive, get a lot of draw a lot of fouls because of the free throw line, because that's what, you know, a lot of teams are like. But this BYU team, they're built to make three-pointers. So if they're not hitting three-pointers, it's going to get rough. But, I mean, there's been games where they haven't hit three-pointers this year, but they still almost won a lot of games. So it's like, you could see, like, hey, if they start hitting three-pointers, and the games that they haven't hit three-pointers, they still almost won. So if they finally start in the three-ball, which we've seen the last few games, like that second half versus Dave, Gideon, George, Jackson, Robinson, the offense looked really good. So you see the pieces there, but that's what they have to do because that's how Pope built this team.
Robin McCombs, Vanquish the Foe. Follow him on Twitter and make sure you're reading all of his articles at vanquishthefoe.com. Thanks so much, Robbie. Great stuff. All right, say farewell. We say farewell. Some breaking news. Jacob Conover has entered the transfer portal.
Has he?
Yep. Yeah, there's So there you go. I kind of knew this was going to happen. You know, I think BYU fans had it, you know, deep down, kind of knew deep down in their bosoms that Jacob wasn't the future of BYU football, and maybe that the coaching staff not being willing and ready enough to hand him the reins, that he needed to go find a new place. And you wonder if ASU's the place for him. His high school coach, I believe, could still be on the staff. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, I think that sometimes fan theories are a little wild or a little off, but that one seemed pretty clear, that the BYU coaches were just not willing to pull the trigger, especially in the Notre Dame game where you were really sure that Jaron Hall was not right. There was just not enough of what he had shown before coming through in that game, especially early on. And the fact that when he did get in the game, all he did was hand off for two straight, pretty much. I think if you are developing him to be your guy next year, you are going to play him and get him some good reps. And so now with him in the transfer portal, and again, guys in the transfer portal, sometimes they come back, but for the most part, they're gone. Their minds are gone. They're gone. They're going to look for a new opportunity. So where does that leave BYU right now? Okay, you look at the quarterback room, and there's really nobody in there with any experience whatsoever right now, which opens up the transfer portal, and there's going to be dozens and dozens of quarterbacks in there. I guarantee you there'll be a lot of high-level quarterbacks that are in the transfer portal. How does BYU compete for those guys? Well, obviously you can show them, look, we put a guy in the NFL. We're going to put another guy in the NFL. We've got a good system here. It works. going into the Big 12. You're going to play good competition. If you come here with experience, that gives you a leg up on all the guys who haven't played at quarterback that are going to be on the roster. Do you go out and get two quarterbacks from the portal? That's a definite possibility.
What would it take to convince Jaren Hall to come back?
There's another aspect.
Another year.
Sure.
What type of money? What type of NIL money? What type of relationships? What needs to be done?
I'm only going to practice every third day.
Whatever it takes.
Seriously, whatever it is, that would be the best move, I think, for BYU to do. And the way that they've structured this now for guys who declare for the NFL draft, you can declare, you can get looked at, you can get feedback, and you can come back.
Yeah.
The problem with that for BYU is the transfer portal opens up now. You need to be recruiting those guys now. So you really need to have a frank discussion with Jaren and make for sure you're gone, right? I mean, is there anything we can do to make sure you come back? And you can announce that next week if you like. But how do you convince him to pass up this opportunity to take his game to the next level? Does he feel like his work at BYU is done? Mm-hmm. You know? And at this point, we heard last year he was going to be fine for the bowl game. He didn't play.
Yeah.
We're hearing now, oh, yeah, I'll play in the bowl game. Maybe not. I'm still not sold on that. So the quarterback situation was going to get interesting in the offseason. We knew that. It starts.
Another question, if Jaren's not playing in the bowl game, if he goes to the NFL, and Jacob Conover's in the transfer portal, who starts at quarterback in the bowl game? That's the next question. We're going to go to break. We're going to talk some BYU hoop, though, on the flip side. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have Coach Miller of Creighton Basketball join us next. This is Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.